Sahanavatu, Sahanabhunaktu, Sahavīryam karavāvahai, Tejasvinavanitamastu mā vidvishāvahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
You should just do like
maybe yeah, sorry.
Just bring the recording device, you know.
No, I mean yeah, that's but you could sit a little closer, because otherwise I have to. Okay, this is more comfortable. Okay, no problem. So we mentioned before that desires develop according to our association, and therefore it is so important to cultivate proper desires, and this is done in the association of proper persons, the devotees. And then verses 4 and 5th, they give these rules. How do we associate with these persons? How do we properly associate with the devotees? Verse 4 describes these 6 types of flowing exchanges with devotees. And we spoke about this the last time. The first one, the dati, pratigrinati, offering gifts in charity and accepting charitable gifts. So basically, what is the best gift we can give to someone? This Krishna consciousness in the form, basically we do it in the form of giving the holy name. And another thing Prabhupada mentions is giving 50% of the income for spreading Krishna consciousness. So we should give gifts, but we should also accept gifts. It is not, sometimes we think this is, it is up to us. I have to give, but I don't have to accept, because we put ourselves still in the center. Let's say someone is giving a gift to us, but we look briefly and we see something I don't need actually, or I don't like, or it's a different color. It's not my favorite color. I would love to have it, but different shape, different design. But this is not proper way of thinking. A devotee, he wants to have a relationship with us, to have friendly relationship, and we should appreciate this. This is our duty to accept this gift. Are we going to use it or not? Or we'll give it? I mean, well, it's not good to give away gifts also. Usually it's not polite.
But if you have too much, okay, yeah. Something that you have
to, that's also consideration. A brahmana, he should live with very simple amount, very like basic necessities, basic facilities, but still he has to accept charity. That means if he accepts more than required, he should start giving to other brahmanas, to other devotees. Of course, there are exceptions. Sometimes we should reject politely. One sannyasi was giving class once, and he explained how there was a Mataji from the temple, and every day he would do his service, and this Mataji every day would come and would offer him Mahaprasana from the Devis, she was Pujari. And he said then, but I was prepared already from reading third canto of Bhagavatam. When a woman comes to approach you with service, that means for a brahmachari, this is a danger. So he wanted to remain brahmachari. Then he said, I would graciously accept this Mahaprasam and I would distribute it to all other devotees without taking for myself. Otherwise, if you accept service, that means you have an obligation. Then you have to reciprocate somehow or other. The next item, revealing ones. Yeah, sure.
What if we are going to a medical practitioner and she's a woman? That does it mean if we pay for the service, then our obligations are done, or is that an obligation also?
It's very individual. Even if you pay, still. Butter is butter and fire is fire. So usually it helps pain. It's even more dangerous if you don't. Anyway, I guess these are topics we can discuss. Yes? Grow up.
I think as devotees we should be careful to, if we can avoid maybe the opposite sex for doctors, because it's very easy to become dependent emotionally.
At least we should be conscious about this. And also we have a bad record already in ISKCON. Things are already happening, right? Yeah, for example. And others also. That's why if we are more conscious then and more sincere, then usually what happens, Krishna gives indications. And there are these subtle like alarms starting, they start to act at one point in the mind. And if we decide to disregard them, then we're in trouble. So some people, of course, they don't even notice those. That's why I'm saying conscious. First be conscious, then Krishna conscious. Good points. So then, revealing the mind confidentially, inquiring confidentially. Usually what happens is that the experienced devotee, the devotee who has more realizations, he's the one who explains and guides the inexperienced devotee. So in this case of revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially. This is the rule. The junior goes to the senior, and the senior devotee helps out. Of course, it may be the case that the senior devotee can help in one particular field, but then the junior can help him in different way, in another area that he has more experience. It happens. Like you climb up a cliff. The system is that you reach a certain point, then the guy who is after you, he goes above, and then he helps you. And then they go like this in a chain. So it might be the case also. And giving and accepting prasadam. This is also very important. We have in Chaitanya Charitamrita, for example, so many nice stories about honoring prasadam. This is a great topic of Vaishnava and Brahminical culture. We should try to accept prasadam as much as possible, although it may be, when it's offered by devotees. Although it might not be, again, according to our particular taste, or we might have some healthy considerations, yes. But we should try as much as possible to reciprocate. And serving prasadam is also a very important thing. If you noticed when someone who is really trained and cultured, when he serves prasadam, then it's such a great lesson for you who take prasadam. If you notice how he does things, for example, he will come and he'll offer you, let's say, seconds, and then you'll say no, thank you. Then he actually understands what you mean. Do you just feel uncomfortable because, let's say, he's offering you sweets and you're a sannyasi, let's say, or you're not supposed to eat too much sweets, or you're not supposed to overeat, but actually you won't. You know? Then he has his ways to
make it happen.
To make it happen. He'll give you a little bit more, but it will be very like he'll make it like this that actually he forces you. And you accept just because you don't want to offend him. He knows how to do this. And it doesn't look like you are greedy and, you know, you cannot control your senses. He won't do it in this way. Or also he knows when you really cannot take anymore and you say no. He knows that no, in this case, no means no. He won't talk anymore about this. But all these subtle things, serving prasadam, accepting prasadam, these are great topics of Vaishnava culture, shouldn't be disregarded. And we also mentioned that we shouldn't exchange this relationship, these loving exchanges with non-devotees. But this shouldn't be taken literally. Because if we take it literally, that means we cannot preach, we cannot expand. Because what actually means preaching. In most cases, preaching means we actually exchange these types of love with non-devotees. For example, the preachers, they go out and distribute books. That means they give the book away as a gift many times. And then there is a gift, there is a donation. So it is already giving gift and accepting gift. And these people on the street, they are non-devotees. Of course, we also should think in this sense that everybody is a devotee. And they're just not aware of this. They don't act in this capacity. So we should actually use all these six types of loving exchanges to preach Krishna consciousness to the non-devotees, without getting entangled too much with them. Of course, a Madhyama devotee, he can discriminate between those who are innocent and those who are demoniac. So he will avoid the demoniac, the envious. But we can say with the innocent public, we can actually try to make them devotees by using these six. Srila Prabhupada gives an example here in the purport. You noticed? What is the example? Inviting people to our temples, giving prasadam, and sometimes Prabhupada says, sometimes they will confidentially inquire about Krishna consciousness, and we will try to explain as much as possible. Yes, Prabhu?
And it can actually also be used to attract some of the envious people, like in the case of a family who is not really appreciative of Krishna consciousness, and make them prasadam,
You mean the kid is devotee and the parents are not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because I remember my first, my my mother's first birthday, after I joined, you know, I rejected her birthday invitation and everything. And like, no, I can't come and eat your food, you know. Anyway, it's the day after the master me, so I was sad, and it took quite some years to mend that wound.
Bhakti Bhava Maharaj also, he told story how when he joined and then he came back home and then his mother tried to give him a hug and then he said, no, I'm a brahmachari, I cannot touch a woman anymore. And then his mother was hurt.
My husband did that also when he was a brahmachari, wouldn't let his mom hug him.
Who?
My husband, yeah. When he was a brahmachari. And as soon as he got married, she was like...
No way. Yeah. Somehow, these kind of stories, usually they don't happen in places like Russia or Ukraine. Or do they?
Of course they happen.
Yeah. Because my impression was that people there are more natural, more emotional. It happens
every day. Krishna consciousness has to fight his attachments and he fights everything. Because it reminds of attachments, so he needs to fight it. It's the sun just step, you know. People have to get over it as soon as possible, but if they're stuck on it, it's a problem.
Usually the devotees, they do get over this quite quickly,
yeah.
Usually.
Normally it's first 1-2 years like that.
But it's kind of almost unavoidable.
Yeah.
Like mistakes that we make. Usually. Yeah. Very difficult to avoid them.
It's related a lot to the lack of training, because in some places where they don't have a proper educational program, even devotees who have been 10 years
senior devotees.
Yeah. Or maybe even more, then they are saying, yeah, you shouldn't even, you know, associate closely with your mother, you know, sister, and they use that. Mm-hmm. Now, those people normally who tell this,
yeah,
they're struggling with this attachment themselves. That's why they're telling this. So this is not in like Siddhanta or absolute truth, it's just their own application, so, and they present it like an absolute truth. But this is not true.
That's why I'm connecting it to like the training.
Yeah. You always hear these stories. Devamrita Maharaj, when his mom and his aunt, I believe, they came first time to the temple, and then he, as a father brahmachari, he gave them, because he heard, I have to preach, you know, so there was a special room for guests, so he made them sit in this room, and he was, for quite some time, he gave them a class about brahmachari life. Illicit sex, so. And then he said, then my mom at one point just, well, son, we are kind of too old for this already. You know, they were like in their 60s at that time.
When Devamrita Maharaj's ex-girlfriend came to the temple, that's pretty funny. He just like ignored him. I mean, he saw that as positive because she was trying to come and get him. And he was in front of Prabhupada. And she came and tapped him on the shoulder.
This is different. Okay. This is dealing with Maya. Okay. Alright. So we should give valuable gifts. We should give gifts to the devotees, but we should try to give nice gifts. Not just because of we read in the book Upadeshamrita. We should exchange love with the devotees, we should give gifts. And then we choose the things that are not valuable for us. We don't need them. Or even we want to get rid of those. So instead of just throwing them out to the garbage, we go to the Brahmachari ashram and give them to the Brahmacharis to wear, you know. As a Brahmachari in ISKCON, you get often this big, like these plastic bags with clothes. And they are not good clothes. Someone was wearing these for quite some time. And it is nice, this is good, it's according to scripture. But don't think that you'll get away with this. Don't think that the devotees won't notice. The devotees will appreciate, usually, if they're humble. They'll appreciate someone is trying to do something, he's giving donation. But it's not that they won't notice the quality of the things you're giving to them. They will. And what will happen as a result is that they won't actually be willing to have a deep relationship with you. They'll accept you as a formal friend, as a bandhu. There is this, in Sanskrit you have different words for friends. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am the best friend, Sukhridam Sarva Bhutana. Sukhrit, this is the best kind of friend, very intimate friend. But you also have other kinds of friends. Official friend, formal friend, they are described there. So this will be the result if you try to, you know, to do these things improperly. And there was one devotee, he would come to the temple only on the Ekadashi. Because he knew that if you give a gift on the Ekadashi, then it has a great value. So sometimes he would just come. He was kind of rich person, and he would come to the temple with a van full of fruits. Because in these years, in my country, there were kind of anyway, it's just, there were hard times. There was no fruits, not so much. They were very expensive. So he would come and he would deliver all these fruits to the temple for the devotees, for the Sankirtan devotees especially. He knew these are the most dear to Krishna devotees, the preachers. And that was it. He would just give this on the Ekadashi only, and then he would disappear. We will not see him for quite some time.
The next 2 weeks.
Yeah. And finally this devotee disappeared completely. Now we don't see him at all. He's not a devotee anymore. Of course, this is temporary. He's still a devotee. He will join again in the future. We don't know when. The point is that we should give these gifts in proper consciousness. And we should actually know what is the goal of giving these gifts. The goal is to develop relationship with the devotees, not just to gain something, material gain, profit.
Check the box. Give gifts, check.
Yeah. And you check and then there is a result. You want the result.
And
material result, not spiritual. Yeah. This is Niyamagraha. Example of following the rules just for the sake of the rules, not for the spiritual advancement. Swatak Maharaj was giving an example of the pigeons. You go and feed the pigeons in the square. And they're very happy, they eat the food. But as soon as you try to have some contact with them, close contact, then they run away, they fly away. He was saying that the Christianity is such kind of religion, pigeon religion. You just go to God and ask for something, material, but then you don't want actually to have personal relationship with God. In most cases. Because you don't know who God is. And then the same in this case with the devotees. You use the devotees as media for attaining your material desires, but you don't actually want to have relationship with them. They're very offensive, yes.
I'm just wondering, would that principle apply in the opposite case? Because I have seen sometimes that when newcomers are, you know, coming for the Sunday feast, the devotees are very eager to preach to them, but when they are regular, you know, coming around, then they're kind of ignored, you know. Okay, they want to preach to me, you know, and that kind of thing, but develop the relationship. They don't
Yeah, I understand very well.
Yeah. It was quite frustrating for me. Actually.
You are in the... You are observing this as a devotee, temple devotee, or you are on the other side?
I was on both sides.
Both sides, yeah. Usually it happens. Yeah, so effective preaching is done when you have developed some relationship. Yeah.
Vaishya principle dominant in the present world. Yeah. Nothing personal, just business.
Yeah.
Nothing personal, just business.
Like people are commodities, you know, they are an asset for the temple. You know, if we can preach to them and they will move into the temple, we're interested. But when they are actually coming around, then, you know, it's not so interesting. Mm-hmm.
I guess there is just to have the balanced presentation. I guess there is also the other side of the story, that some devotees, they would come for 10-15 years just for the Sunday feast, you know, and they are not also inclined to be active, to really help the temple and develop relationship. So it might go both sides, but still. Because in this situation, the temple devotees are supposed to be the senior side of the relationship. They, in most cases, it is expected from them to make the first step and to try to work out the relationship, to make it dynamic.
And not to try to overbalance it again, but just not only for the temple devotees, but for all devotees, they should be educated in such a way that we would be able to motivate anybody, you know, even if they have...
Yeah.
Their selfish desires, we should be able to tell them how to connect
them. Yeah. This is the point Krishna makes in Gita.
Yeah.
Shouldn't try to unsettle those who are too attached, but should try to engage them in karma yoga, that means in Krishna consciousness. Okay. So you move to the next verse, if there is no further points you want to make. Text 5. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Here in this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami describes three types of adhikara or bhakti. First, second and third. So again, in the line of the previous verse, here we, in the previous verse we learn how to exchange love with the devotees. Now in this verse, we learn further details how to associate with the devotees. How to respect them properly. We learn who is who among the devotees. There are different categories among the devotees. It is not like... I heard this from a friend of mine once. He was kind of in a bad mood, and he told me, you know, all these things about seniors and juniors, you all learn this in the army. And there is no such thing. We all spirit souls, so we are... There is no junior and senior. Because I was supposed to be his... Of course, you can guess. I was supposed to be his senior. He was supposed to be my junior. And he came up with this philosophy. Which means, actually, that he puts himself in the position of the senior, because I have to listen to his philosophy. I have to accept it. So there is no senior and junior, but still, you have to do what I say. So I'm still senior. Yeah.
I have a question on this. It mentions here that the Kanista Adhikari has received Hainam initiation.
Yeah.
And Majam has received spiritual initiation.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? First and second initiation?
He has received second initiation. Madhyam. And
but Prabhupada said that it's not all devotees that have to receive second initiation. If they don't have the Brahminical quality, it's better to just have first.
Yeah. There are different
Does that mean that they don't become Vajams?
But there are different criteria for Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama. This is just one way of looking at it. Now we will go through these different criteria. We will see. Because Kanishta, Madhyama, and Uttama are defined not only here in Nectar of Instruction, but also in Nectar of Devotion and in Bhagavatam. There are different criteria. So we have full picture. Well, so as you mentioned, Kanishta, his qualification is that he has received Harinam initiation. And he chants Hare Krishna mantra. So according to Nectar of Devotion, Kanishta is someone who has weak faith. Soft Kamala, Shraddha. Weak, soft faith. And also a weak knowledge. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, Kanishta is... He does not know how to regard other devotees, how to deal with other devotees. And also, he doesn't know how to deal with the people in general. Therefore, usually, Kanishtas, they shouldn't be encouraged to... I mean, new devotees, they shouldn't be encouraged so much to preach when a guest comes to the temple. Better the more experienced devotees to take this, how to receive them, how to preach to them, what to do. Better for the new devotees, it's better just to observe and to try to understand what is going on, try to get good education. Of course, it shouldn't mean that they shouldn't preach. But
new devotees are really fired up to preach.
Especially when young girls come to the temple. And then you see that they'll go and preach. When some old lady comes, then nobody wants to preach to her. Maya keeps using the same trick. Why? Because it keeps working. It works every time.
So the Hainam initiation doesn't mean it cannot be taken as just instruction.
Yes.
It should be instructed just before you're getting diksha, but you're instructed
here,
to Hare Krishna and you take it up.
Here it is mentioned Harinam initiation. The Kanishta Dikari is neophyte who has received the Harinam initiation from the spiritual master and is trying to chant the holy name of Krishna. That's what it says here.
I'm just trying to connect it to myself because I've been in the movement for over 10 years and I
you see the process of initiation, as we mentioned before, is not just the Yagya, the formal act, but it can happen before the Yagya, during or after, or might not happen at all. So I guess you can take it in this way. One aspect. Madhyama, devotee. According to Nectar of Instruction, his qualifications are second initiation. He is initiated and fully engaged in devotional service. Here it says who has undergone spiritual initiation and is engaged in worshipping the deity. So this is a common point of controversy or misunderstanding sometimes. Yes?
It just says here a person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in a temple, but who does not know how to behave towards the devotees or people in general, is called a Krasika Bhakta or Vishnu Adhikari.
Where it says this? Oh, in the study guide. Okay. Yeah. Could be, but because we are taking here different definitions from different books, this is a definition from Nectar of Devotion. It is in the study guide of Nectar of Instruction, but the original is coming from Nectar of Devotion, from this definition. No, this is 11th canto of Bhagavatam. A person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple but who does not know how to behave toward devotees or people in general is called the Prakrita Bhakta or Kanishta Adhikari. This 11th canto of Bhagavatam. So, faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple could mean that he is just observing the arati. This is also worship, or he is chanting the holy name. Doesn't necessarily mean that he is the head pujari of the temple. But it could also be the case, you know, because these are just different categories given in the scripture for our mind, so that we don't become bewildered and we can use our little boxes to put everything inside them. But it's not that it's absolutely divided in this way and there is no overlap. There is always overlap. Exactly, mentality. Mentality, there are two criteria, it's very important. Faith, what? okay. two things, faith and knowledge. So Madhyama, his qualification according to nectar of instruction, he has second initiation and is fully engaged in devotional service. According to nectar of devotion, he has strong faith, but he has weak knowledge. Well, not really weak knowledge, but sometimes he will be defeated if he has a debate with a Mayavadi or an atheist. Okay, I guess we should stop here because boys are becoming restless. Continue tomorrow.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.